Live from Austin, Texas, this is After Reality.
This is the final roast tonight.
But first.
And people stop being polite.
Shut up.
And start getting real.
Good job, Mr. Puppet.
Killed it. Good job.
He is the man, the myth, the legend, Will Simmons.
Staying woke.
And I am Spencer Kitley, and this is After Reality, and you heard it there. The tribe has spoken, and we're finally excited to be speaking about the tribes on Survivor. We are, is it three episodes, four episodes in?
Oof, feels like more than that.
And we're finally getting to talk about Survivor,
I really like this season a lot before we get too deep into it, but I really feel like the first few episodes there's too many people even get close to, so I feel like this is a good time to come into it a little bit.
And I feel like this season more than any other, been having a really hard time putting names with faces and remembering who people are, even to this point in time. Like, there was Chelsea was on tonight, and I was like, I don't know who Chelsea is.
Yeah, exactly.
and I think what happened was they changed the tribes so early.
Yep. You really weren't connected to anybody.
Well, and it made it really hard to understand, like, who was Malolo, and who was Navidi.
Yeah.
And then they switched them, and you're like, oh, well, I don't know which ones were with who, and it's made it really hard to follow. Next week we're dropping our buffs again.
I know.
And then probably 1 to 2 weeks after that we're going to merge.
Yep. So. I have something to say about that, but before we get too deep, let me just run through where you can find us at.
Yes,
follow
sir.
Us on Twitter at After Reality Pod, like the After Reality TV podcast page on Facebook. And hit us up on Instagram at After Reality Podcast. We've really been hammering the channels recently, so just check us out. Also, download us at iTunes and Google Play. We started
right in on Survivor.
Right.
We're also going to be talking about Vanderpump Rules and Summer House a little bit here on the pod tonight. This is kind of our mixed bag show where we talk about everything that's not either the Bachelor franchise or the challenge. So I'm excited. Let's talk some Survivor here.
So I was about to say the tribes and everything else, everything seems to happen so early. I don't understand why, if everything's happened so early, how people are so loyal to each other on their tribes when you really weren't really on that tribe for very long until you kind of merge into the other tribes. So the alliances don't seem as deep, in my opinion, or shouldn't be, at least.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's like they really gravitated towards one another quickly, and those alliances have kind of stuck through these merges, yeah. At least the voting blocks have.
And you're probably closer to the team you've been on recently than you have the before that. So this is why I don't understand why people are so hard-headed about being on somebody else's team or side. So,
well, and you've been with your current team longer than you were with the old team.
Right. So what's the issue? Why are we still hard-headed about our alliances? This doesn't make any sense. So, but I think so far it's been really fun. But I agree. I don't know who everyone is. When I heard some names in the last couple episodes, I'm like, and you are.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's been interesting to try to navigate this season. What are your just holistic thoughts on the season to date?
I've liked it so far. I think there's definitely some good players out there. I feel like some of the gameplay has been kind of weak, but like kind of going back to the whole, whose tribe and sides people are on. I feel like that's kind of gotten in the way of things, that people are actually killing themselves because they're trying to stick to this tribe, but you're losing, and it doesn't make any sense when you keep the people that are actually going to help you win rather than just throw the people away that are against you. I think there's need to be some better mingling around here. So I think it's been good though, but I think some of the gameplay has been a little off based on the weirdness of these tribes being assembled.
Yeah. And I think that was one of my, so right before you got back into watching Survivor a few seasons back, that was one of my complaints for a few seasons on Survivor, that all the tribals were like, we knew what was going to happen. We knew who was going to vote with one another.
Right.
Hadn't been entirely the case this season, but that was a knock of mine there for a while, that like people were so loyal that it, like, it's the same thing with Big Brother. Sometimes you'll get a house full of people that it's going to be a unanimous vote every time.
Yep.
That's not fun.
No, it's too obvious. And there's no fun in that unless somebody has an idol to kind of blow it up, or, you know, there's a blind side. But so, yeah, it's been good, though. I like some of the people on it pretty well. So, but previously we were coming off of Navidi having an alliance forming and targeting Chris.
Chris is an athlete. If they don't get
absolutely
there, if he's there when they merge, he will win every competition.
Yeah, I totally agree. Or that guy Michael's pretty good at him too, but Chris is like a stud. I mean, like, found out he played baseball in college tonight. So, I mean, you kind of want that guy around. There's a lot of targeting you have to do.
Did a little research, couple different colleges.
Oh yeah,
Polk State College in Winter Haven, Florida, and then at another smaller school in Kentucky as well.
Huh. Dang.
And Laurel, the taller African American woman who's pretty athletic. She played volleyball at Yale.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, she does pretty well as well. No, I think some of the teams have some really solid players on it. But then I think like the Malolo tribe, like, they're just whatever. It's pretty lopsided.
We saw a shakeup at Malolo last time though, where Michael got that idol that James has had from Ghost Island, and wanted to make something happen with it. He kind of bluffed at Tribal, saying that he could save two people, trying to put a plan in motion to get some people to kind of jump over to his side to join up with him and Jenna and Stephanie and Brendan. He ultimately made the choice to give the idol to Stephanie when he didn't know, but the person he needed to give it to was Brendan.
Yeah,
and Brendan went home, which I really liked Brendan.
Yeah.
Like, if you were lining people up in a row and telling me to pick my team for Survivor, Brendan's up there on that list of where I was going to draft somebody.
Oh, totally agree. I mean, he's also, it turns out, he's a PE coach, so he's good at kind of these athletic things. And guy was in good shape, seemed like he had a good thing, but people kind of get annoyed with him for some reason because they think they're still on their old tribe and they can't be friends with Brendan, which is dumb. You've been on this tribe way longer. Yeah. So
I wouldn't be annoyed with him. I'd be annoyed with that Bradley guy on that tribe.
Oh, he's super annoying. Super annoying. And he's not great at a lot. He's good at puzzle stuff, but like, that's a lot of physical work, and that guy's not really holding his own.
Yeah, let's get into this week.
Yeah. So the reward comp, we're playing for coffee and pastries. How do you feel about coffee and pastries in a reward while you've been out in the sun and haven't eaten much?
I'll take some pastries. I don't want any coffee.
I mean, coffee's a diuretic. Like, where are you going to go crap? Like, yeah, like the whole tribe would be like just blowing just
like, up. Like, I don't want milk either. Ice cream. Yeah.
See, I like that. I would go for that more than coffee, but I didn't realize there's some ramifications to that as well.
Same ramifications. Same ramifications.
I know. One's just more tasty, in my opinion.
Carbs.
Yeah.
Carbs and protein. That's all I want.
Right. With the winning team sent someone from the loser's team to Ghost Island. This is the way the game's been played. Ghost Island has been an interesting concept for us.
Yeah, pump the brakes here on Ghost Island.
Yeah.
Do you like Ghost Island?
It's okay. I feel like there should be more to it than it is, but it's okay.
Yeah, we follow someone there, they break something, they pull out a piece of paper, and they either get an advantage or they don't.
Right. You have to be alone for a while. That's kind of sucks, you know. And
well, actually, I take that back. It's not you get an advantage or you don't. It's either you get to play a game and you maybe get an advantage,
right?
Or you don't get to play the game at all and you just get to hang out and eat some rice.
Yeah, by alone for a whole night. I mean, I know there is that part of it where you need that socialization with your team and just being able to talk strategy, and just not being a part of that group definitely sets you back. But in my opinion, I also get some alone time away from these people and, you know, like maybe clear my head a little bit. But it's a different situation for everybody, I guess.
And it would have been a different scenario for Ghost Island had they not switched up the tribe so early, because now it's a random drawing of rocks every time because they can't come to a consensus on who to send in because they all have, like to your point earlier, these very loyal preconceived alliances, even to the people on the other tribe that were on their old tribe.
Yeah. It's It's kind of sad. Like, you got to move on from these things. Like, you're a team now. So, yeah, no, Ghost Island does work sometimes, I guess, but other times I'm just like, great, you're just going to sit out for 12 hours. Enjoy it.
Yeah, hey, I like this reward comp. It was this obstacle course that had a few different elements, but it culminated with throwing small sandbags at targets to attempt to raise flags. And hold the phone, this may have been one of the most dominant performances we've ever seen on Survivor.
It was a beatdown. Absolute beatdown.
I mean, Chris started throwing those things, and I'm like, this guy's I'm a guy that's thrown a few balls in my life, and
tell us more.
I can identify someone else that's done the same, and it was very obvious Chris knew what he was doing. I mean, when they rolled up before they even threw something, I said to my wife, I go, this is my competition here. I throw things.
Yeah. Chris nailed it. I mean, like, being a pitcher, I mean, like, this is a perfect the bag or whatever wasn't much larger than a baseball. I mean, like, he was killing it. I mean, like, awkward angle to throw at and still doing well.
Hitting the mitt.
Yeah. So yeah, Navidi blows them out, just complete crush. Probst is blown away.
Probst goes, wow.
Yeah, and then you get a little nice little rap from Chris afterwards.
Wait, I missed the he rapped?
Yeah, it is like this little rap about how he was just you would probably know the song it probably comes from if it's not an original, but yeah, it is a little rap at the end of it.
He used to throw a few rocks? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
I think he was just talking about balls.
Yeah, but there's a whole rhyme to it. I don't know if you caught all that. It was a whole rhyme he had together.
Oh, I didn't pick up on it.
You need to watch it closer, dude. Come on. Malolo drives rocks for Ghost Island because, once again, they're too scared to actually nominate anyone. And Stephanie is chosen. She's the yoga instructor who turns out to be a former Mormon. She'll be back for the Munion Challenge. She's going to Ghost Island.
Okay.
Great. So Stephanie's gone. She's going to Ghost Island. She gets there. No game to be played, so she gets to hang out on the island alone for 12 or 24 hours or something like that. So, wham, wham, right?
Yeah, we got a little kind of interpersonal stuff going on prior to getting into the immunity comp. But
yeah,
I want to get your take on this. And there was this whole like kind of nice thing where Donathan was upset about Coffee reminding him of his family back home, and then Chris kind of went over and started building a relationship with him and kind of related a little about his mom and her being sick when he was growing up. But did you get the vibe that this was less of a conversation and more Chris preaching to Donathan?
A little bit. I do feel for Donathan. Like, he is definitely an outsider in this whole group. I mean, like, from the way he talks, the way he looks, the way he acts. I mean, like, he's...
Which means he'll probably...
Right. I mean, like... He should have been gone a long time ago. Obviously, he doesn't bring a lot to the challenges, but he's done well for himself. But it was pretty sad. You know, like, Bethany and I were definitely like, wow, we really feel for this guy. But also, I felt for Chris when he was on the Ghost Island and was kind of getting into about his mom and his background. I mean, he's just great-looking dude, great shape, you know, looks like he'd probably get anything he wants in life. And he has this really hard look story about how his mom and how he's going to take care of her. So I really feel for him. So I feel there's a part of Chris that is a little conniving in this move where he's like, I can pull Donathan closer to me because we have this little connection. But I also see this as like Chris also gets to kind of open up a little bit and be more real. That way people won't really turn on him as quickly either if they can kind of keep this going. So it's a little two-sided. I will give him that. It is a game. But I feel like there is some real conviction with Chris doing this as well. So good on from doing it. I mean, especially Donathan's kind of an outsider, and so I'm sure he really appreciates that. So. Yeah.
To my point earlier about Ghost Island being this or that, Ghost Island was actually good for Chris. I think it gave him like a mental reset.
100%.
And it's kind of changed at least what we've seen through production of him on the game.
Yeah, he seems like a team player all around, which is you kind of have to be. So.
Yeah, I want to talk about the immunity challenge. I really like the immunity challenge. It was something very different. Like a lot of time on Survivor, we see a lot of the same things. We did have some of the kind of puzzle element, but
wasn't very different. It was kind of different.
Well, I mean, the first element.
Yes.
So
yes.
They're going out across this wobbly bridge carrying a boogie board, and they untie a bag of something, grab it, get on the boogie board that's attached to a rope, and then there's this big pulley system on the shore. And I'm thinking, like, they're going to, like, reel these people in like a fishing pole.
Yeah.
They were like, water skiing. They were coming fast.
Yeah. Dez was nearly drowned.
But, hey, that's the will to win. Like, she's underwater. Like, I mean, have you ever been, like, on a kneeboard or something
behind a
boat where you get pulled under the water like that?
100%.
You're like, oh, I need to let go of the rope.
Yeah, I'm about to kill myself. Absolutely. Like, if we had access to something like that, I would definitely be down to do this.
Yes.
Awesome.
So once those bags got back to the beach, there was a couple of typical type survivor things, a puzzle combination lock followed by a slide puzzle. Yep. A little different slide puzzle. But again, Navidi, that's the purple team. That's Chris's team. That's Dominic's team. They win it. They're not only dominant physically, but they close out the puzzle too.
This one actually ended up closer than it started off, because Navidi was well ahead of them. But the puzzle kind of got to him. But yeah, good on him for getting that puzzle, because what's his face on the other side? What's his name? We don't like him. What's his name? Bradley almost had that puzzle put together. So they got him pretty close. But yeah, once again, Navidi just crushing things.
Yeah, so after the comp, there's like talk about what's going to go on over at Malolo. And I mean, really, it's 5 versus 3 and it's choose your own adventure, right?
Yeah.
And we go to, and there's not a lot to be said here. You have 18-year-old Michael trying to make a way for himself in this game. And then there's Jenna. She's trying to, like, hit on Sebastian for fun. And then Stephanie, who's kind of the strategic one. And it's one of the three of them. And it's not even really fun to watch when they go to tribal.
It's pretty pathetic. That's what I was going to say. First off, oblivious that Michael was 18 to this episode, which is amazing because this kid's really held it together. He kind of saw some cracks being 18, a little younger here at this part of it, but guy's been doing really well for 18.
He doesn't look 18.
No, hell no. I kind of like Stephanie, but I kind of like her story, but same time, like, not really doing a whole lot for the team, but she's doing more than Jenna, who's just hanging out with Sebastian, who looks like a really fit rat.
he has a different look to him, for sure.
Definitely interesting look. And I'm trying to, like, you don't look like your head and body should be on the same thing. But the guy performs really well, and it's hard to hate on him. He's done really well, and everyone likes him. But he's got a thing for Jenna, and he's going to protect her, which is really sad because Jenna's kind of the worst person on that team when it comes down to these elements. So, but yeah, agreed. This is pathetic. Like, Bradley doesn't want anybody to side with them, but it's like, Michael is the only reason why you're going to compete in these competitions. If you get rid of him and you have another competition, you're going to lose again. So,
but little does he know, there's not going to be another competition with that team.
Nope. But we go to tribal, though. Completely up in the air. I think Michael does a decent job of trying to say, like, hey, you know, you're going to need me around here. But it seemed like the group already really had their mind made up when he got in there. So Stephanie goes home. 5 votes. Vote was actually 7-1. Was actually a landslide. Michael thanks Bradley for it, which he should. But I think that was a good move to keep Michael around, especially because next week we drop our buffs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not even fun to watch this tribal, right?
It's pathetic. It's actually sad.
Three people squirm for their survivor life.
Yep.
There's no idle angle. There's no suspense. It's just, which of these poor people are they going to put out of their misery?
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's also, they've lost everything the last few weeks too. Like, they've gone to all the eliminations except for like one. They've lost all the comps, you know. So just like, this team is pathetic. Like, they need to be blown up now. And luckily next week we get that.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season shakes out. I'm looking forward to us talking more regularly about Survivor. But there's some other things on that we are interested in as well. Before we get to those, if you're picking someone to win this show right now, who is it?
man. I think Chris right now, but I feel like he's also going to get targeted because I feel like people are going to turn on him. But I think he's probably get the most going for him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Chris, and like I said, if he can get to the merge, he could run the table potentially.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the more impressive runs that we'd ever seen. I do also like I like Wendell.
Yeah, Wendell's good.
Wendell doesn't get a lot of screen time, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. You're kind of staying under the radar. He's not up on Front Street like Dominic and Chris are on that tribe.
Yeah.
So those are kind of the two guys I have my eye on, and I think Laurel, who I mentioned earlier, the volleyball player from Yale, might be a sleeper down the stretch here.
Definitely, I think she's gonna hang around for a while.
Yeah. Let's shift gears over to Bravo. What do you want to talk about first?
Let's do VPR.
Vanderpump Rules. So we've had a lot of things going on over the last few weeks of Vanderpump. We haven't talked about it a whole lot, especially on the pod. There's been the blow-ups have continued between Jax and Brittany. We've had more kind of developments with Tom Tom. We've had Lala getting more gangsta with people. And last week, was it last week we met James Kennedy's dad?
Who, yeah, the previous week, yeah.
That was kind of interesting.
It was.
And this week, we have a gathering of people. Where were we this week? I'm trying to remember. All happening.
They end up going to Mexico, but before that, they were just doing their normal like house reality stuff.
Right, but so we go to Mexico, and that's where this like kind of whole thing that starts being socialized about Jack's big job opportunity.
Right. So before we get to Mexico, yeah, Jax tells Brittany he has his job opportunity. It's a job of a lifetime that he's going to be working for a hockey team in Tampa. It's a dream job. It's social media. He never says exactly what the role is. We don't get much details about what he's going to be doing. But it's his dream job, and he wants to move there, and he's basically already moved there in his head. And it's like, dude.
We've never heard Jack even mention hockey.
Hockey?
We do know that Jack has some sort of relationship with Barstool Sports because he has about
every
clothing item that Barstool Sports sells.
Sundays are for the boys, or Saturdays for the boys, right?
But apparently Jack's – we know he's from Florida, but he's
sure. –
I'm a big hockey fan, and I would assume it's the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Unless it's got to be a minor league team.
I guess maybe they could be a, I don't know, a whatever they call the next level down in the NHL. I know we have the Texas Stars here in Austin.
Yeah, like ECHL or something like that. It's weird. But I also feel like Jax is grasping for straws at the same time. I think you probably agree. Like, he wants to do anything to get away from some of the stuff because he just feels like it's bringing him down, according to his Reiki master, of course.
Yeah, when I think I brought this up on the pod a month or so ago. I think Jax is trying to find a way out of, like, Vanderpump Rules. But I don't know
how
to word it.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of with you. I'd say either get out of Vanderpump Rules or just at least out of the bar. I mean, like, that's I think he really is feeling the pressure that he is not going anywhere outside of what he's doing right now. But
he's gonna be 50 years old at some point and still pouring drinks.
But I feel like he
one bedroom apartment with himself because around.
No, exactly. But I do feel like he's still taking the wrong angle about this. He starts telling Brittany how she doesn't listen to him and everything else, and like then just starts snapping at her as soon as she tries to like level with him or try to reason with him. So once again, he takes the wrong approach. Honestly, I feel like Jax is so tied up in the show that he doesn't know what to do anymore in front of the camera except react in the worst way. Like, I feel like he's lost sense of what he actually should be doing, because if you follow him on social media, they are always together and always doing stuff and always super happy and love, except when they're on the show, everything seems awful. So maybe he needs to walk away from the show.
Yeah, maybe he's playing more of a character on the show than he.
Well,
in real life.
I would say, of course, yes. Especially him of all people, too.
I mean, he specializes in that shocked look.
Oh, yeah.
The eyebrows kind of pulled up and the mouth open, like, really?
Right. Yeah, that's him. So they go through that. We also hear about Stassi's taking very seriously with Lala and her little gig and stuff like that. We see her try to set up their little restaurant for her singing thing. But we end up going to Mexico. And this is where Jax can't wait to tell everybody about his job. But it just takes the wrong angle. I mean, Brittany's doing once again, going out of her way for him and really trying to like lay it on thick about like how much she does for him and everything else. And he still finds a way to like jack it up.
Yeah. Well, figure out what the job really is before you tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
And why are they offering it to you?
Right. Also, here's a question.
A celebrity?
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why I don't think it's actually the Tampa Bay Lightning. I feel like it's be a Tampa Bay affiliate of some sort, because why would you just hire some guy that's been on TV to be your social media manager or coordinator or whatever you do? Like that doesn't add up. Like they'd hire somebody out of college before they hired Jax Taylor. So, but Mexico also, why the hell on your birthday do you invite Kristen Doty and Stassi Schroeder on your birthday?
Good question.
It's a great question. In my opinion, it's great. Also, Lala. I don't think Lala needs to be there either for Jax. Like was
Laura Lee not available, or Faith, or any other person he slept with previously?
Yeah, not sure. But Mexico trip starts off with a bang. He pulls the Toms aside and freaks those guys. Those guys' reaction was amazing when they both told him.
You mean you're not going to be my neighbor?
You mean like Schwartz, like, oh, you're not going to live next to me anymore? Yeah. And Sandoval just like, what? A job? Come on, dude. Yeah. That felt like those were real reactions too. I'm like, is this a real job or are they just playing it up? Like they have no clue this ever was a thing.
Yeah. So one of the common themes this season has been Shishu stirring the pot. She's always
like a banana style.
Yeah, oh, it's like way more than Johnny Banana style, but I mean, it was this whole thing of like her love for Rob, and then kind of Jax was like saying Rob doesn't love you, and then it's all kind of all come to a head here on this trip, right?
Yeah. Sheena actually before this actually tried to bring in Adam, the new guy behind the bar back at Sir, to like hook up with her, hang out with her. Like she was intentionally trying to get Brittany to like fall for this guy a little bit, and Brittany didn't go for it, but Sheena did it on purpose to get in front of Jax, to get this to piss Jax off and hopefully do something, I guess. But then she brings this to Mexico with them and like just starts going off about everything else, and just like she just keeps egging him. And we see next episode where she actually drops the bomb about how like she said that Brittany went on a date with this guy when she didn't. What's that?
Flamignon.
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 Hey, Rob. Rob. Hey, Rob.
She again mentioned the TV on the wall in 7 minutes this week.
Oh, my God. I just love Sheena's reaction, which is like everyone's reaction was just like, Stassi just like, oh, my God, kill me right now. Honest reaction, feel the same way. Shoot us now. Also
the second time in the last couple of weeks that we've oddly ended up with a conversation with all of the girls with one male cast member sitting with them.
Yep.
It was James. Previously sports. Why does this keep happening?
It's really I don't know. And you can see James like, don't leave me here. Like, Jax, would you come over here? Come over here. And he's like, just left him there. And honestly, this is the new James Kennedy, obviously, because James usually the first one to just start some shit and just like let it watch it burn. He literally tries to tell them to like calm down and like, you know, it's not like that, and trying to take the kind of the guy's side of things, which is not normal for him. And they just eat him up like a pack of wolves.
last week was a whole controversy about calling Ariana's brother.
Yeah. Which
it's one hit after another.
It's crazy.
We're running out of time. I want to make sure we have a little bit of time to talk about Summer House. Yeah. The kind of there's a couple main storylines this year. There's Kyle's drinking.
Yeah.
There's Carl's awkward on again, off again with Lauren, and now trying to date other women, which is kind of a weird situation for him.
Very.
But it's okay for Lauren to kind of do whatever she wants to do.
Totally.
And then we had Lindsay freak out last week about this when Everett came back around.
All
like,
right.
He'd like kind of held it together all season, like was a different person than she was last season. And then it was just like, as soon as that guy comes around, it's like toxicity city.
Ah! Like, yeah.
You should know, realize what just happened and never have anything to do with that guy ever again.
Ever.
Because you like seem like a pretty like decent person to hang out with until he comes around, and then you're just like nut job.
You've tried to get me on the Lindsay train for the last season, just like, oh man, no, it's not like that. I'm like, she's crazy. And you're like, no. She's crazy.
She's crazy when Everett's around.
She's crazy when Everett's around. She's crazy in general. Things are just not right with her.
She keeps it pretty dialed in most of the other time, but
she got shit faced and like couldn't even hang out with the guy she was trying to bone. Like, that's not normal.
Let's talk about Carl. Carl's like, I like Carl. I don't think Carl makes the best decisions all the time, but they're making Carl's life really tough to be in this house. Carl also has a lot of personal stuff going on.
He does. Carl doesn't make it easy on himself, but there is a double standard for Carl where Carl has asked permission for things and be on a short leash about things when everyone else can kind of come and go as they please. So it's kind of because of what he's done in the past. But it also isn't fair that even if he tries to move on, they don't let him. So what do you want from him?
Yeah, he brought olive oil around this week. Seems to have moved on to maybe be dating her.
For now.
You seem at least fairly normal. Chill.
Sure. Seems fine. It's like another person he'll probably end up not dating later on, but that's cool. It's Carl.
Carl may actually need somebody a little more normal, and she seemed pretty normal.
Possibly. I feel like Carl, though, is going to do what Carl wants to do anyway. So even if the girl was normal, Carl's still going to his house as he hooked up with or has been in the house that he has hooked up with. It gives a rotating door here.
Yeah. So we kind of talked about Lindsay already. I want to talk about Kyle's drunkenness, and then we're going to wrap this
cookie
up. Nothing tops what happened last week on this show.
Oh, my God.
The Hamptons Tea Party. We talked about this after the show. When Kyle got drunk and he dumped a probably 40 to 50 pound bag of loose tea into the swimming pool, and I saw like a interview with them thinking like asking him what were you thinking. He's like, oh, I thought we would just be able to like scoop it out with the camera. Thinking that he was going to be steeping tea in what was probably 80 something degree pool water. So I laughed every time they showed
the
pool of tea last week. And I was trying to picture the smell of what it would smell like walking around the pool.
I mean, I feel like the smell would be fine, right? It's tea. I mean, like, it wouldn't stink. It would just be
but just like this, like, weird, very strong odor because that was
a ton of tea. Also,
I mean, I get a glass, you can look at it and know that's strong tea or that's light tea without even tasting it.
Also, the many level color patterns we saw, you know, it started off, it was like, oh wow, it's slowly changing. The next day, you're like, oh my god, it was brown.
Next day, it's like, if there's a body in there, I have no idea.
Yeah, and I love it. And like, only these people could do this to a pool and be like, yeah, we'll just call the guy and just come fix it tomorrow.
Suck everything out of this and clean all the pipes.
Oh, that's all. I mean, like, I feel like you want to drain the pool. Water. Yeah, you're going to drain the pool. There's no way around this. You got to drain the pool and start over. But Kyle's drunkenness is epic on the show, and it's also awful because he treats Amanda like garbage. and she is just trying to like make things work, and she wants to be married to the guy, and I get it. Like, they probably have a great life when they're not on TV, but like on TV and when there's drunk, he's a maniac. But Kyle is amazing drunk. Bethany and I have said it. We'd love to hang out with Kyle at some point. Kyle Cook, if you're listening, we'd love to hang out with you. Get her, him and Dorinda, as Bethany has said, in the same room at the same party, and just watch everything just burn down.
I know Dorinda's name. I'm not familiar with Dorinda. I don't watch that show, but we should probably be invited to the 4th of July party at the Summer House next.
Make that happen, dude. Make that happen. But I did see Kyle post Instagram post about how when he watched this episode, how badly he felt and how that is not who he is. And he basically just a long apology is like, this is, I was in the wrong, she was in the right, blah, 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 from there. So Kyle does have a conscience.
Do we know
whether he remembers it or not? Yes, they are. They're still together.
They are. I'm actually surprised after watching that episode this week. On that note, we need to wrap things up. Before we do, remind everybody where they can find us online.
Twitter, After Reality Pod. Facebook, like the After Reality TV Podcast page, and Instagram at After Reality Podcast. And as usual, you can find me at I Fell Over 45.
Find me at Spencer Kitley. That's all one word. Until we meet again, this has been the Mixed Bag. Till then, we remind you, we like bears and Mexican food right here on After Reality.